Hello and welcome to another live edition of the Cyclone Insider podcast and YouTube video stream. I'm Travis Hines. He's Randy Peterson, coming to you after Iowa State's beatdown of Ohio on Saturday afternoon at Jack Trice Stadium. Cyclones do what I think most people expected them to do, and that's take care of business from beginning until end against the Bobcats. Randy, I don't know that there's a lot to glean from this game other than Iowa State did not have a debacle. They avoided not only a catastrophe of something like losing the game, but avoided even really having any questions asked about their ability to turn the page from Iowa, their ability to look forward to Baylor, and then, you know, potentially even, I mean, I thought they played good football today. Obviously, it was not perfect. But I'm looking at this game on Saturday now against Baylor, you know, with my eyebrow up a little bit, because I do think that this has been a really solid three-week start for Iowa State. And, you know, they kind of put a little cherry on top with another blowout win today against Ohio.
That was the big thing. My biggest takeaway was that Iowa State played without having a hangover from last Saturday. I mean, they came out and scored right away. Deckers was outstanding right away. Xavier Hutchinson was outstanding right away. It didn't take any, just like Matt Campbell said after the game, and like the players told us after the game, after the Iowa game now I'm talking about, is that they would be fully grounded. They promised that they would be fully grounded by the time, you know, they got back to Ames, essentially, after last Saturday night. And by golly, they were. There was no bit of looking ahead to Baylor. There was certainly no nothing that would make you think that Iowa State was still on a high after the previous week. Sure, Iowa State shut it down a little bit in the second half, but why not? I mean, this thing was out of whack midway through the second quarter. We knew who was going to win anyway, but after that, about midway through the second quarter, especially we knew, and I think you and I and every other reporter up in the press box started writing stories. So that was my biggest takeaway. I mean, it's sure we could talk about the negative and the special teams continue to be negative, but I was really happy for Will McDonald finally getting that sack after three games and in the third game, and for him that was good. I mean, the poor guy, he sees all kinds of different blocking schemes against him, and he will continue to. But he's inching closer to that becoming the Big 12's career sack leader. I think he needs four more. So, and he'll get them. He averaged 11.5, or he got 11.5 last year. So all in all, it was a good game for Iowa State to be 3-0 for the first time since 2012. Going into Big 12 opener next week.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they came out aggressive. Their first four plays were passing plays offensively, came right down the field, scored the ball. You know, you saw Colby Reeder get an interception there later in the game defensively and almost take it back, or if he had not ran into Anthony Johnson, might have scored there. I mean, pick at any wounds, but that kind of looked like the Iowa punt return from 2019 with two Iowa State players colliding. But otherwise, I think a really well-rounded performance for both sides of the football. You know, I know some people were a little frustrated with the running game, where you take away the big runs and the yards per carry suddenly didn't look that great, you know, where Jirel Brock got all but 15 yards on his day on that 61-yard run, I believe. Kind of same thing for Silas and Sanders, a couple big runs juiced their totals. But I think, you know, like I mentioned before, they started the game with four straight passes. Deckers throws it almost 40 times and passes for 268 yards. I do think that we have evidence that this offense might be pass first, pass to set up the run, rather than the other way around that we've seen in other years. We'll see when Cartavius Norton comes back, if that adds another wrinkle, which sounds like maybe he'll be available next week. But I just don't think it's worth getting bent out of shape when your passing game looks as dynamic as it is, where you're going to lead with the pass when you've got Hunter Deckers, that looks like he's got a big arm. You know, obviously only three starts to his name so far, but Xavier Hutchinson has been awesome through three games. Sean Shaw had a big game today. We all know what Jalen Knoll is capable of. So I do think this might be a lead with the pass type offense. So I don't think it's, and what we've seen with the running game for now, what, 6 years, 7 years under Matt Campbell, like, I don't think it's worth hitting the panic button on that quite yet. Should we talk about special teams, or should we, you know, praise them a little bit more before we talk about what's been a disaster? I don't know if disaster is too strong, but a major, major red flag there.
As far as getting back to Decker's just for a moment here, he hit 10 different receivers, which that's pretty impressive. I know you and I were talking in the press box. I think we were talking about who would become the tight end receivers now that Charlie Kohler and Chase Allen are gone. And Deshaun Haneke had three catches today. And I think he had two combined in the first two games. Tyler Moore had a couple.
The Rust Bus.
Rust Bus had four. Yeah, there he is. The Rust Bus had four. So
I think that's over half of his career catches all in one game.
We like the Rust Bus. I mean, he's the kid's got such a wonderful personality. Let's have him on this thing sometime during the midweek. Yeah, he's funny. But anyway, yeah, and Greg Gaines got in. He hadn't been in yet this year, and that which was surprising to me because I'd heard so much about him, and maybe he'd been banged up. I don't know. It's not like we've got a great handle on injuries, although Matt did say tonight after the game that Cartavius Norton is getting closer, whatever that means. Rimsburg was not running around, but he was walking around without that lugging that brace on his, I guess that would be his right knee. So maybe he is getting closer. Maybe, you know, a couple weeks he will play. I guess we'll just have to see about that. But, you know, we can, I don't know, you want to go special teams? You want to talk about the offensive line? Gave up two sacks.
I mean, I think it's that was worth
Decker's.
At least...
I wasn't watching the game that closely anyway at that point in time. They may have been on Decker's. I don't know.
I think it's worth talking about, or at least mentioning special teams. Obviously, two punt blocks against Iowa. They get a PAT block today against Baylor, or excuse me, against Ohio. Also give up a return to near midfield. And by themselves, that's concerning enough. When you piggyback it onto what Iowa State has done or not done special teams-wise for the last two or three years, I don't know how you're not concerned, especially if you know, if you look at the past as prologue, Iowa State's going to be in a lot of close games in the Big 12. And if you're going to be in a lot of close games, sloppy special teams is a really good way to get beat. So we'll see what it's like going forward, but – man, that's got to be concerning for that coaching staff right now.
You know, having kicks blocked like that, like the Iowa game, like today, that'll get you beat in the Big 12. There's no question, because I guarantee you Baylor, maybe not by now, but certainly by the time they get here next weekend, they'll know that let's bring the house on these kicks and see what happens. Because Iowa State's not blocking it. I could sit here and say I have confidence that Iowa State will make the correction, but same things happened 2 weeks in a row. So I don't have the confidence that they will get it fixed. It just may be one of those facts of life that's going to happen. I mean, obviously an opponent can't block every kick. So the ones they don't block, you know, play them well, but
I don't think that's a winning strategy. The ones they don't block,
yeah.
The ones they don't block need to be good.
But I think that I'm hopeful that Iowa State gets it fixed and at least does something to fix it. And if they, I mean, keep an eye on this. If the opponent has seen on film, which they will have by now, that Iowa State is very susceptible to having kicks blocked, then let them come and just fake a punt. I guarantee you a planned fake punt has never been called with Matt Campbell as a coach. Might as well start that now. Okay, you say one.
Oklahoma last year, right? That was the first one.
Okay.
I believe so.
All right.
I'll have to go double check that, but I feel like they did against Oklahoma last year.
But if they're going to be coming that hard, then take advantage of it. You know, turn a negative into a positive. But, I mean, you know, all in all, yeah, it was a a very good game for Iowa State. Deckers could have thrown for over 300 if they wanted him to. Jarrell could have run for 100 yards if they wanted him to. But get Deion Silas some play. That was good. So Iowa State's going to enter the Baylor game with three running backs that have carried the ball significantly. So that's kind of cool too.
Baylor on Saturday for the 3-0 Iowa State Cyclones. Randy, I did not expect this game necessarily to have the stakes that it does with Iowa State 3-0, Baylor with the one loss on the road in double overtime to BYU. But to me, and I wrote this after the game, the downsides for Iowa State here are pretty minimal. If you lose this game on Saturday, I don't know that anybody's really going to bat an eye. You lose a top 25 game at home in a season where you don't have a ton of expectations to begin with. Whereas the upside is significant. If you win this game and you come out of September 4-0 with a top 25 win, and then you've got Kansas and K-State coming up. Like, I know Kansas has been much better this year, but that's still a game you feel pretty good about. Same thing with K-State at home. Like, we're talking very reasonably 6-0 heading into that Texas-Oklahoma back-to-back. Again, for a season where I think there was some level of expectation, but certainly not huge. Where if you're at 4-0 coming out of this Baylor game, the possibilities are super intriguing about what you can get done as an Iowa State program, whether it's in the Big 12 or in the grand scheme of, you know, how many wins can you stack in the last 2 months of the season. So a lot of upside here, and I think some surprising upside for Iowa State, you know, given how much they lost from last year's team that was on paper, I think, the most talented team in school history that ultimately went 7-6. Now you've got a team that has plenty of guys that have been part of success at Iowa State over a number of years, but certainly not with the resumes or name recognition that you had the last two or three years, you know, with your Charlie Kohlers, with your Brock Purdy's, your Breece Halls, and on down the line.
And Baylor's, you know, I was reading, looking at some of the Baylor stats of Baylor's game today. Shapen's a very good runner. So, I mean, Iowa State's going to have its hands full with him. In both dimensions, both passing and running, and he may be a better runner than he is a passer. And Baylor always gives Iowa State fits. So, you know, like you said, we're going to see a lot of close games this Big 12 season. And those mistakes, like the punting game that we've seen in the punting game, they're going to have to get those fixed somehow. They're going to have to get those fixed or somehow work around them. You know, figure out some kind of workaround, because they're not going to be able to get away with that stuff in the Big 12. So, but yeah, I mean, Iowa State fans should be excited right now, 3-0, and chance to be 4-0. And like you alluded to, I mean, my gosh, with Kansas and K-State after coming up after the Baylor game, who knows what can happen? And I guarantee you, there's momentum. There's maybe momentum's not the right word, but Iowa State knows that K-State was picked ahead of Iowa State by the coaches in the preseason Big 12 standings. So we'll see what happens there. But going into Baylor next, or going into the Big 12 opener next week against Baylor is at 3-0 is something I don't know how many people expected, but it's certainly here, and Iowa State fans and the team is, they're going to make the most of it.
Iowa State is 3-0. We'll welcome top 25 Baylor to Jack Trice Stadium next weekend. You can read all about Iowa State's beatdown of Ohio on DesMoinesRegister.com tonight and tomorrow. And then be sure to check out all of our week-long coverage leading up to the game on Saturday against Baylor. Again, DesMoinesRegister.com. We've got our radio show Monday evening on KXNO. Be sure to tune into that. For Randy Peterson, I'm Travis Hines. This has been the Cyclone Insider podcast and live stream. Thanks for listening and watching, and we'll catch you next time.